Hello, and welcome to Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin. In this weekly podcast, we hope that you have an encounter with God through inspired teaching and discover practical ways to help you live a life of purpose. If you enjoy the teaching ministry of Jensen Franklin and would like to enjoy more resources, devotionals, including our weekly updates, we hope you'll visit our website at jensenfranklin.org.
I want to speak to you for just a few moments from Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. I preached this message last week in California and at our church there. And while I was preaching, I had my wedding band on and I got to the last point. And I'm not kidding, I'm not being dramatic. And I make the last point and my wedding band breaks and falls to the ground. And I think people thought I did it as an illustration, but I really didn't. And you'll understand why. But I'm getting it fixed. So that's why I don't have my wedding band on today. Just in case you're wondering. And I know some of you have wondering minds. I know you do. Look with me in Mark chapter 13. Lord, continue to heal Charisse. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Mark chapter 13, powerful, powerful scripture. Notice it's all red letter. So this is our leader, our Redeemer speaking. But of that day and that hour, no one knows. No, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. If a man is going to a far country, he has left his house and given authority to his servants to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Everybody read verse 37 with me out loud. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Watch. That's what I want to talk about. Watch. Solomon had an amazing thought in the Song of Solomon 1 and verse 6 when he said, they've made me the keeper of others' vineyards, but I have not kept my own. He was looking at his life and looking at the mistakes he had made, looking at his family that had been destroyed. And he said, I was put over the responsibility of caring for other vineyards, but I didn't keep my own. God gives us responsibility of others, but that others begins first. I cannot be a leader of the church if I do not have careful control of my own life and particularly watch my own life. The elders of Ephesus, Paul wrote, and he said, take heed to yourselves. Take heed to yourselves in Acts 20. He said, take heed to yourselves. Be careful lest you be disqualified. Listen to 1 Corinthians 9:27. I keep my body under subjection, lest after I preach to others, I should become disqualified and be asked to stand aside. That's haunting words to a pastor, to a spiritual leader. That it is possible that I can preach to others and not watch and take heed to myself. And God finally reach a point where he looks at me and he says, you are disqualified. Stand aside. I'll have to have someone replace you. There's a scripture in the book of Revelation that said, let no man take your crown. Which means you have a work and a purpose that God has put you on this earth. And he has a crown that he's going to reward you for doing what he called you to do. But if you don't do what he's called you to do, his kingdom will still advance. He'll have to replace you with somebody else. And he said, don't become disqualified and have to be told to stand aside and let someone else take your crown. I don't want Jesus to have to ask me to stand aside because I was loose in my life and loose in my living and I miss the will of God. Many people are in battles, and when they get in battles, they drop out. They fade away. They don't last the long haul. They're not strong till the end. And so they drop out of reading the Bible, of church attendance. You see them and then you don't see them. Joseph said to his brothers when he told them who he was and he had the keys to the corn in the middle of the famine, he said, go back with this good news and tell the rest of the family. But then he gave this admonishment in Genesis 45, see that you fall not out of the way on your journey back. One translation said, don't get in an argument among yourselves and fail to find your way home with all this good news. While on your journey home, don't get in arguments and fall out with one another, but take heed to yourself. I want to encourage everyone under the sound of my voice today to take heed to yourself. Don't live loose. Be careful what you look at, what you listen to, what you give your heart to. Take heed to yourself. Don't get loose with your standards, with your morality. It's so easy to just begin to erase the lines and just begin to live looser and looser. And before you know it, there's no difference between the old you and the new you. Don't live loose. Many used to serve God. What happened? The enemy is so deceitful, he just keeps pulling you out. They did not watch their relationship with God. There are marriages that just didn't watch their relationship between the husband and the wife. They just kind of let one another drift and the family is decimated. They didn't watch. Jesus told the parable of the sower and the seed. And in it, he said that some of the seed fell by the wayside. And he said some of it fell on stony ground. And some of it took on good ground at first, but then the thorns choked out the seed. And then finally, he said, the seed fell on good ground. Notice that 3 out of 4 didn't make it. Notice that 3 out of 4 had the seed hit them. And two of them at first received it, but Satan came immediately and stole the seed. And the other one said that the cares of this life choked the seed of life out of the ground. And only 1 out of 4 was good ground that remained productive, not just for a season, but for the longevity. And that's what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about only 3 out of 4, Jesus said, 3 out of 4 would fall aside. 3 out of 4 would not endure and stay strong till the end. It's possible to start out good and start out on fire and start out in love in your marriage and start out, but only 1 out of 4, Jesus warned. That's why the scripture speaks so powerful to me when he said, watch over and over and over in the text that I read in Mark 13, he said, watch, watch, watch. And then he ends it. I've said unto all, watch, be alert. It can happen to you. It can happen. You can fall away. You can lose your family. Be alert. Be careful. Don't play with sin. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He was with the greatest preacher who ever lived as his apprentice, and he looked at him and was with him when he preached the powerful words of life, and yet he fell away. And if it could happen to Demas, because the world had such a grip on him, the spirit of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life just began to sink itself and grip his life until he could not break away, and he had to choose the world over the plan and the purpose of God. The Bible said, take heed to yourself. I have kept the vineyard of others, but am I keeping my own vineyard? Jesus said, watch, watch, watch what? I want to give you 4 areas that you need to watch, and I want to use the word watch as my outline. If you're taking notes, and you know, a small pencil is better than a long memory. And feel free to take notes because you won't remember everything, but you may need this. And if you've got your phone, you can turn it on and take notes. But if you start doing your grocery list, may a curse come upon you. I'm just saying. Just watch. I thought about, what do we need to watch? Number one, we need to watch our words. The W in the word watch stands for words. Words are powerful things. Words can destroy or words can uplift. Words can build up or words can tear down. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus said, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever things he saith." He keeps emphasizing, it's important what you say. It's important what comes out of your mouth. Watch your words. Proverbs 18 and 21 said, "The power of death and life are in your tongue. And you'll eat the fruit thereof," it goes on to say. In other words, if you talk death, if you talk disaster, if you talk defeat, if you talk depression, that is the seeds. Every word is a seed, and it's going forth and creating the future. And he said, the world that you will walk into, the future that you will walk into, is being determined by the words that you speak. You can speak death, or you can speak life. You can speak depression, or you can speak joy. You can speak hopelessness, or you can speak faith. And it's up to you. Death and life are in the watch your words. Proverbs 30 and verse 32 said, "If you have thought an evil thought, lay your hand upon your mouth." Don't speak everything that you need to speak. That scripture in that song that we sung earlier, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes the greatest thing we can do is use the weapon of silence. And don't just blurt out and say everything you think. But learn that when Jesus stood before Pilate, he spoke not a word, the Bible said. Sometimes silence is your greatest weapon, that you don't have to defend yourself. That if you'll shut up, God will defend you. If you'll learn to not give people a piece of your mind, but just stand there in truth, God will defend you. Watch your words. Number one, watch the words that come your way from the devil. I'm telling you now that Satan will get in your head and tell you things that are not of God. That's why Jesus turned to Simon Peter and he said, "The things that you are speaking are from the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan." I'm telling you that you have to watch the words that come from the devil. Words like, "Just give up." Words like, "What's the use?" Words like, "You're never going to get free. It's never going." I promise you that the Holy Spirit, if you have an addiction or bondage or some major issue in your life and it's destroying your life, the Holy Spirit will never tell you, "You're never going to get free." That is a voice of a demon spirit that says, and is straight from hell, and you need to recognize it and watch those words and say, "You're not coming in here. I have another report. I have a report that says I'm loved by God, that he shed his blood for my deliverance." Watch the words that come from the devil. Watch the words that come your way from other people. They can captivate you in inferiority and torment you and defeat you and turn a beautiful day into a terrible day, all because of the words that somebody speaks to you. And you don't have to make your ears a garbage can. Watch the words that come to you from other people. And lastly, watch the words that come out of your own mouth. Words, we are to speak words of life. We are to speak words of faith. We are to speak words that agree with God. We are to speak what God's word says over our families and over our lives and over our bodies and over our pain and over our hurt. Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." And if you're going to watch your life, you're going to have to watch your words. What are you saying to your children? What are you saying to your wife? What are you saying to your husband? We just can't be like a volcano, just blowing up. Watch your words. I'm telling you, take heed to yourself about this. What you're saying matters. What you're speaking over those children matters. Bless them. Speak words of life. Speak the word of God over your family, because give God something to work with. And he's going to work with your words, or Satan's going to work with your words. And who are you feeding, God or the devil, with your words? Watch your words. Secondly, watch your attitude. Watch your attitude. You know, the word attitude is so important. Watch your attitude. Just because bad things happen doesn't mean you need to be ticked off all the time. Satan has this plan to not let you get saved. But if you get saved, he immediately opts to plan B, to make you miserable. And just because you get saved doesn't mean you won't go through things. Sometimes the horse bucks and you fall and an accident happens. And a beautiful day becomes a bad day. But you don't have to have a terrible attitude. It could have been so much worse. She could have been paralyzed. She could have had a head injury. You know, you can look at it half full or half empty, and it's all up to you. It's all about, life is about attitude. It's not that if you love Jesus, you won't go through things, but you've got to get a good attitude if God's going to bless you and your family. See, when it comes to attitude, the Bible said in Psalms 1, blessed is the man who does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Have you ever just met a scornful person and all they do is sit around and they're negaholics and all they do is just, everything is negative, everything is scornful. They're scornful about God, scornful about the church, scornful about their family, scornful about this. They just have this terrible, terrible attitude. I'm saying to you, when it comes to children, more is caught than taught. They're going to catch your attitude. And the attitude that you have toward God, toward worship, toward His house, toward life in general, if you have a positive attitude, they're going to face life with a positive attitude. And you can be down. Paul said, I think myself happy. I think myself happy. You have to have an up attitude. We've got too many children that are not dreaming big dreams because they're around a negative attitude all the time. You can't do it. You'll never be anything. Watch your attitude. Refuse to be a negative, angry, upset, mean person. Nothing worse than a bunch of mean, angry Christians. Attitude. David said in Psalms 51, renew in me a right spirit. So even if I'm going through stuff, I need to be positive about the fact that God is still good and He's still faithful. And when we're sitting out in the desert and you've been thrown off and you got a bad break and it's bad and it's getting worse by the minute, you can look at it like that, or you can start immediately saying, thank God, thank God, thank God we're still alive. And you know something? Some of you are sitting there and you act like you got major problems. You don't even have a problem. You're not hooked up to chemotherapy. You're not sitting up in a hospital with disease all in you. What have you got to be down and negative about? You need to watch your attitude. When a real problem comes, you know, some of you are upset that you didn't get a good parking space and you had to walk an extra and you need to lose the weight and you need you. How crazy. That's not it. You make a problem out of no problem. Have a good attitude. Have a positive attitude. Look over at somebody and say, you need to smile. Your face is bothering me right now. Just tell them, you need to smile.
Don't you want to get saved and go to heaven with me throughout all eternity?
No. The young people think all the fun people go to hell. Amen. There ought to be some Christians that have such an uplifting, wonderful attitude that they want to be like them. They're dreamers. They're achievers. Come on, somebody. Get up in your attitude. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Let's just take a praise break and have an attitude correction right now. What was I discouraged about? What was I depressed about? This is the day the Lord has made. I need to rejoice. I'm alive. I'm healthy. What else matters? Number three. Watch your temptations. If you're going to watch your life, you've got to watch your temptations because they're coming. I really felt a quickening in my heart about this point. All of us are tempted. One man was 80 years old, and a young kid went up to him and said, "I just want to ask you, I'm really battling temptation." He said, "How old is it before I won't be tempted?" He said, "I don't know, I'm just 80. There's a lot of people that you got to understand that as long as you're in this body, even after a 21-day fast, temptation is still real. You're going to be tempted to quit. You're going to be tempted to sin. You're going to be tempted to look at stuff you shouldn't look at, listen to stuff you shouldn't listen to, tempted to gamble, tempted to have illicit sex, tempted by drugs, tempted by alcohol. The Lord told me to tell you, watch your temptations. It can cost you everything. In West Texas, I found something, and you can check this out. I'm not making it up. It's very real. There's something going on in West Texas that have baffled the scientists. They said what it is there have been more rattlesnake bites in West Texas in the last few years than in decades, and they cannot figure out why, especially in remote places just where farmers are. More farmers are being bitten, experienced people with the country there, the barren kind of hot area of Texas, are being bitten by rattlesnakes, and they couldn't figure it out, and they said they believe this is what has happened. Wild hogs were imported from Europe many, many decades ago, and those wild hogs have overbred, and they're everywhere. And wild hogs have bad vision, but they have tremendous ability to hear and feel vibrations. And they have developed an immunity against rattlesnakes, and so they eat rattlesnakes. It's one of their favorite meals. And so what has happened is over time, they believe that when the hogs would hear a rattlesnake go off, it would immediately be, you know, turned to go to that rattle. And the snakes have gotten smarter, and they've stopped rattling. And you don't get bit until it's too, you know, before you'd get a buzz that would go off, and a buzzer, you know, from the rattles, and you'd know, back up. But now there's no warning. If you get close enough to a snake now, he's not going to rattle, he's going to bite. And I thought, what a message. That sometimes we get to thinking, the Bible said in Ecclesiastes 10, that if the hedge is broken down, the snake will come in and bite. And sometimes we get to stomping hedges, meaning standards and convictions, and stomping them down and say, "I didn't hear any rattle of a snake. I didn't hear any rattler go off. Oh, I'm going to go over there and do this too. And look, nothing happened to me. And I'm going to go to that party, and I'm going to get drunk, and I'm going to sleep with that person. I'm going to look at that filthy website. I'm going to do this." And we get to thinking, nothing's happening. No lightning bolt is hitting me. I'm getting by with it. But here, maybe what it is the snake is so smart that the reason you don't hear the rattle is he's waiting until you keep stepping more and more and more. And when he sinks his fangs in you, it'll be too late to try to fix it then. And the Lord sent me to tell you today, watch your temptations. Sin is still sin. Death is still death. Even if it's not rattling, wrong is still wrong. And you may feel like nothing's happening and you're doing it and you're fine and you can control it. But if it's not rattling, that doesn't mean it's not deadly. It may be that serpent is so wise that it's just pulling you further and further and further. And here's the good news. Jesus Christ was tempted. He has overcome Satan. He has overcome the devil. He has overcome every addiction. And by his blood, you can be free. I want you to praise God right there. And I'm going to finish this message. Everybody, how many of you believe the blood of Jesus is greater than any temptation? Please hear me. Please hear a man who has pastored for 25 years plus. Sin will destroy. It thrills you and then it kills you. It fascinates and then it assassinates. Nobody gets by with it. Sooner or later, the serpent will bite if the hedge is broken down. Be careful. Watch your temptations. Every man has a weakness. Every woman has a weakness, or two or three or four. And you have to know those things, and you have to set up parameters around your life, and you have to get accountability, and you have to. I love Craig Rochelle, pastor friend of mine, wonderful, wonderful man of God. And he told me something that I never forgot. He said that he grew up in college and partied, and said, I was not raised in church. And he said, I'm ashamed of it, but I slept with a lot of girls. I looked at pornography all my college years. You know what he said? He said, so what I've done is I have two or three of my best friends, including my wife, and there is nothing on my phone or on my computer that I can ever go on and look at that there's technology that can do this, that they don't get a copy of. How great is that? Watch your temptations. Number four, watch your character. The C in watch stands for character. Character matters. Christians need character. Give me a big amen right there. When your word is no good, something is wrong. Don't tell them you're a Christian. Tell them you're a Muslim. Tell them you're a Buddhist. Don't tell them. Don't tell them you're a Christian. If you say, I swear I'll show up at a certain time and get the job done, and you know in your heart, I ain't going there that day. I'm just leading this person on. Character. Character. When you leave your bills unpaid. Character. Well, Jehovah Jireh is paying my rent. No, he's not. Whoever you're renting that home from has not got a check in 6 months, and it's not Jehovah Jireh paying it. Well, I'm just going to write a faith check. That's not faith. That's a felony. Character. Character. Come on, folks. Character. You do what you say. Not that any of us are perfect, but hey, we don't lie knowingly. We don't do things deceptively, right? Character. My wife has built homes, and every home we've lived in, she's built. And I'm ashamed to tell you this, but it's almost like when subcontractors showed up, you know, sheetrock or roof or whoever, and they say, I'm a Christian. We almost say, oh, God. Isn't that terrible? I don't really care if you're a Christian. I don't care if you're an atheist. If I'm hiring you to do a job, I just want you to do the job like you said you would do it for the amount you... Turn to somebody and say, character matters. Abimelech, the Bible said, was a king, and he saw Sarah, Abraham's wife. I'm almost finished, but listen. He saw Abraham's wife. He had a harem full of beautiful women, the most beautiful women in the country. And he saw Sarah, and she was 99 years old. And he started lusting and saying, I got to have her. She was 99 years old. How many of you want that lotion? Come on, just be honest. 99, and she was hot. 99, and she's turning heads. 99. Turn to your wife right now and say, that's what you look like, baby. That's you. That's you. I'm trying to help you ahead of the marriage conference. And you know what God said to Abimelech? He took her, pitiful Abraham lied and said, she's my sister. And he took her, and he's going into her bedroom to assault her and molest her. And God spoke to him and said, if you touch her, you're a dead man. And then he made this comment. He said, but I have withheld you because of the integrity of your heart. I know you did this in the integrity of your heart, and I withheld you from sinning because you, even if you mess up, if you have integrity in your heart, God will help you work things out. It's a big deal. And lastly, watch your household. If you're going to watch your life, watch your words, watch your attitude, watch your temptations, watch your character. But lastly, watch your household. The most valuable thing that we have in this world is our children, our husband, our wife, our loved ones. They're worth more than silver. They're worth more than gold. They're worth more than any a claim that the world could ever, any title you could ever earn. There's nothing more precious than Charisse and Courtney and Carissa and Caroline and Connor and Drake. Nothing. And we're called to watch our household. Watch your family. It's not your job to be their best friend, mom and dad. It's your job to be watchful. There's a thief, like the dream of the little Woodson girl that we just heard, that there is a real thief that wants to come in and steal our children away. But we are to remain watchful. He said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Determined that your children will be fruitful in the kingdom of God. And hell will not have them in Jesus' name. Genesis 14 and 14, Abraham's family was kidnapped and he sought God and God said, go pursue and bring them back. You shall bring them back. David at Ziklag lost his family and God spoke to him and said, go after your family and you shall recover them all. I feel like telling somebody that if you will believe, according to Acts 16, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say this with me. And you will be saved, you and your household. Does anybody believe that this morning? Does anybody claim that over your children, over your grandchildren? I know hell will come and assault and do all it. But if we're watchful and we're praying, there's nothing more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ and a praying mother and father. And I'm saying to you, be watchful. When that boy comes to pick that daughter up, you be there and you open the door and just watch him. Don't smile at him, just look at him like this. Watch. When they come in from a ball game, before they jet to the bedroom, say, come here. Breathe. Let me smell your breath. Come here. Let me look at your eyeballs. My God, that's a little extreme. No, it's not. You must be a dictator. I'm not a dictator. I'm a dad. That's what a dad does. He gets all in their business. Who are you going with? Who are you? Who are these people? Where do they live? What is their phone number? Who is her mama? Who is her daddy? This is what a parent does. You don't just say, have a good time, honey. Watch. Watch. Watch who they're running with. Watch who where they're going. Watch and don't believe anything they say. Follow up on it. Me and Charisse used to follow up. And one time, one of them called us up and said, I see y'all. And said, what are you talking about? She was supposed to be at McDonald's after a ball game riding around with her friend. And we pulled up on and parked behind the car in the parking lot across the street and just watching. And she called and said, I see you. Good. Come on, watch. Children need direction. Children need to know somebody is watching and praying when they're making stupid decisions. Let's turn to somebody and do like that. You know, my wife watches me. I watch her. I tell you, every once in a while, some old sleazy gal start hitting on my wife, the preacher's wife. It'll tear me out of the frame. I know I'm a preacher, but I'm going to tell you what. One day you might have to bail me out. I get so mad. I'm jealous. I am. I'm jealous. Don't be hitting on my wife, freak. And if I can't handle you, I got friends. I got Richard. I got all kinds of friends. But don't mess. I watch my wife. I tell you, you know, My school teachers know when they were in public school, they knew that child has a daddy. If something's going on, and I know our children mess, but you know, you need to be in that. That's called watching. Watch. Watch. I want to close with this. I got a phone call. During December, or actually January, during the fast, is a great man in this church. He's been so instrumental, such a blessing to in so many ways. And I have his permission to share this. And it's during the 21-day fast, he was given an opportunity that astounded him. If I named the name of this corporation, it's a household name, and everybody in this room would know it. They have a headquarters, I think it's in New York. And the president of this international, massive, multi-billion dollar corporation flew private jet in, picked this guy up who attends here with his family and has for many, many, many years. Took him to a resort and guess what you would call wined and dined. They had done this many times, but now they were really going after him. And he's on the 21-day fast. And the guy, the president of the corporation says, I'm saying to you, we want you so bad to be the vice president, one under me, of this international corporation. He's a successful businessman, has his own business. He said, if you'll leave that and pick your family up and move them, we'll pay you, we'll write you a contract for $5 million a year. You will be set up in 5 years to net with stock and everything else above that. You won't ever have to work again if you'll come do this. And he said he was fasting during that 21-day fast. And he said, I went back to that beautiful lodge and laid in that bed. And he said, I cannot believe this is happening. He called his wife. They prayed on the phone. And he said, somewhere in the middle of the night, he said, I woke up. You talked about that the Lord will come in the room on a fast and wake you up sometimes. He said, I woke up and he said, Pastor, I knew instantly I was in the presence of God. And he said, I heard the voice of the Lord in my spirit say, I have you where I want you. If you want to do this, I'll bless you. But my perfect will for you and your family is where you are. And he said, I felt a peace come over me that is indescribable. He said, I thought about my son. I thought about my beautiful daughters. I thought about my wife, and I began to weep. And I began to worship and I began to praise God. And he said, I went back that next morning and I told that president how honored I was. But I couldn't take that job, listen, because there's some things money cannot buy. Money cannot buy a family. Money cannot buy a good church. Money cannot buy a family being raised in truth. Money cannot buy a happy marriage. And I'm saying to you, that's what I'm talking about. Sometimes we just jump. I don't know where music is, but come on. Watch. Sometimes we need to be watchful. Not every opportunity is God. I said it before, I'll say it again. If you don't get anything else, never move for money. Now, if God tells you to move, then go. But don't let money be the deciding factor. Let the voice of the Lord be the deciding factor, because there are ramifications that you cannot see. And I'll tell you this, I told this man that you will not give up houses, lands, or anything for his name's sake. And he not reward you 100-fold in this life and in the life to come. That's Jesus' words. And how many of you know to see your family in heaven is 100-fold in this life and in the life to come?
Thanks for listening to this edition of Kingdom Connection. We hope this has been a blessing in your life, and we'll share this and other great resources with your friends. Visit JensenFranklin.org for new teachings and free podcasts, videos, and blogs. And be sure to connect with us via Twitter @Jensen or Facebook @JensenFranklin. Thanks for listening to the Kingdom Connection Podcast, and have a great week.